Hello, my name is Leanna. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from fear of abandonment, low self-esteem, and codependency.
Hi, Leanna.
Hi. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, I welcome you to this place. You are my Father, my guidance, my light. You are all-powerful, all-God, yet you know what it's like to be human. You know how my human heart is feeling right now, and I ask you to please calm my nerves, get my human nature out of the way, and may I serve you as an instrument in sharing your story of grace in my life. Speak through me to each person's heart tonight and open their hearts to what you have them hear. In the name of Jesus, amen. At an early age, I knew of the existence of God. I believe he knew what I was doing and thinking all the time, just like I believe Santa did. It wasn't until age 12 that I learned how God loves me so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross for my sins and salvation. All I needed was to receive it, and I did. Yet, deep inside, I felt the gift was undeserved. Much later in life, I came to understand it is by grace, that it was a free gift, and I didn't have to do anything but believe. After my parents' divorce, I did the occasional visits with my father. My dad didn't frequent church, and often he had his neighbor take my brother and I to church. This man, old enough to be my grandfather, sexually molested me for the first time at age 6. There is no universal definition of child abuse. However, a central characteristic of any sexual abuse is the dominant position of a person that allows him or her to force or coerce another person into sexual activity. At such young age, I did not know what he was doing to me. I did not know that what he was doing to me was inappropriate or even sexual abuse. Later in my childhood, I realized what this man had done was wrong. But then I thought it was too late to speak up. Full of shame and guilt, I never shared this information with my parents or anyone. I would like to pause and clarify that if childhood sexual abuse is part of your story, please know that the abuse is never your fault. Know that you're in a safe place to talk about the hurt that you have experienced from the abuse. And if you have been the abuser, this is also a safe place for you. You will learn that God's grace is enough to cover any sin, even abusing another person, and that he wants a relationship with you as well. My dad remarried and moved his new family to California, leaving my mom to raise us alone. My mother struggled with depression, and the first time I witnessed my mom attempting suicide, I was 8. For much of my life, I truly believed that there was something I could do to bring her out of it. I tried to be the perfect daughter. I minimized my own emotional presence and took the role of the caregiver, assisting with the care of my younger brother and my mother as well. I did everything I could to keep my mom from worrying or getting sick in order to keep her from hurting herself. Though I couldn't articulate as a child, I felt I was to blame. I did not give myself permission to express any negative emotions, such as anger, sadness, guilt, or shame. Since my mother struggled with the same feelings, I suppressed them within myself to try to keep her from falling into depression. I felt like I was responsible for keeping her alive. As I got older, I began to interact in much the same way with romantic partners and friends. Like a chameleon, I took the emotions of the person or people around me, and I was greatly affected by their moods. Most of my relationships were unhealthy and unsatisfying and involved varying levels of codependency. Not much of a surprise when I found myself committed to a controlling, abusive marriage at age 17. This man and marriage became my obsession. I isolated from the world as I wasn't really allowed to have friends. I adapted myself to keep the peace at home to avoid flying hot plates, physical, emotional, sexual abuse, and injuries. During this season of my life, I put my husband on a pedestal. I attempted to be happy when he was and obsessed if he wasn't. In an attempt to have my husband be proud of me and love me, I sought pregnancy and even endured fertility treatments with no success. After 11 years of marriage, he abandoned me, leaving me completely broken and lost. I literally locked myself in a dark closet in my room, not wanting to face the world. In this lost state, I walked away from God's way, thinking I had failed as a believer and that God hated me because he hates divorce. But he hates the sin, not the sinner. Full of shame and guilt for my failed marriage, I wrongly thought I had messed up my relationship with the Lord so badly that I just didn't care anymore. I believed these lies and sought happiness in all the wrong places with excessive drinking, partying, and having multiple one-night stands with no intention of ever having a long-term relationship. I was empty and afraid if others got too close to me, they may realize how broken I was. I closed myself up and didn't allow anyone too near to keep myself from being hurt again. I was doing life on my own, and it was pretty dark and lonely. During this time, I was a victim of date rape. I found myself all alone in the ER, not wanting to live anymore. Full of shame, I continued in the old ways. Soon after that, I found out I was 14 weeks pregnant and had no idea. This took me by surprise as I thought I wasn't able to conceive. It also took me a while to figure out which one of my casual encounters was the father. I started thinking maybe God does love me after all. I am able to conceive. I'm not worthless. I started seeking God, praying for my baby who I named Angel. During a sonogram, the doctor realized that my baby did not have a heartbeat. I was broken as I wouldn't be able to tell my baby how much I love him or her. My baby went to be with the Lord, and I developed the need to find the way to be with my baby again one day. God used this tragedy to draw me into a relationship with him. I was invited to attend Watermark, where for the first time, I heard a pastor acknowledge that he is a sinner following a perfect God. And that's when I knew this was where God had led me. I was in a safe place now and at the right time. One day at church, I heard about Region, and I decided my brother needed the program. So I brought him with me one night. To my surprise, during the first testimony, I heard a woman that shared struggles similar to mine. She spoke about grace and God's unfailing love. I realized that I needed Region just as much as my brother did. I saw the opportunity of a safe place where I could grow closer to the Lord with women that had similar struggles. I'm not going to lie. I was the one that came into group having a hard time sharing, arms crossed, and seeking the least eye contact possible. But, you know, I was determined. I knew that the Lord had brought me here for a reason. At the beginning of my close group experience, it was difficult for me to share. I found I didn't trust myself. I compared myself to other women in the group. And I was fearful that I wasn't writing enough in my weekly assignments to be successful in the program or measure up to others. With time and dedication to my recovery, and thanks to some encouragement from my mentor, the Lord began to remind me who I really am in Him. I knew He was present with me, and I understood that I am His daughter, that He saved me, and He loves me dearly, and that all things are possible with Him. This understanding gave me the courage I needed to open up to other women in the group. To my surprise, these women never judged me or criticized me. Instead, they encouraged me and shared similar stories. As I trusted more and more in the Lord, He revealed the areas He wanted me to work on, such as idols, sinful patterns, harms I had both caused and experienced, and the effects that all of these had in my life. God took such good care of me, His daughter. He didn't pile them all at once, but instead, He showed them to me one by one. He knows exactly how much we can tolerate, and His timing is always perfect. During the first three steps, I realized my personal need for God's grace and that my life was unmanageable, that I was the true living definition of insanity, doing the same things over and over and over again, expecting different results. I learned there was hope for me and God loves me with all my imperfections. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." As time passed in our close group, it became easier to share as I trusted that God was in control. During steps 4 to 6, my mentor Tiffany and my region accountability partner Lara prayed for my peace as I revisited my past and I started my inventory. The Lord revealed how my past sins and hurts were leading me into unhealthy patterns in my life. One of my coping mechanisms was codependency. I took responsibility for others' behaviors and did not allow my loved ones to do things on their own. I didn't believe they would be okay without my interference. This was draining me of life, joy, and happiness. When I shared my inventory for the first time, a heaviness was lifted from my heart. I was very surprised to learn the abuse was not my fault. I had kind of thought of myself as a big victim in the past, but wasn't until I said it out loud to my mentor and accountability partner that I experienced healing and freedom from the knowledge that I'm no longer a victim. It was very powerful to say out loud that it was not my fault. I turned away from destructive behaviors and slowly began to replace them with healthy ones. Setting and keeping personal boundaries and not trying to change others, but instead totally depending on the Lord. I also committed to spending quiet time with the Lord, memorizing scripture, and seeking wisdom in God's word. I also made it a point to move to a different playground where I wouldn't be tempted as I had been before. I knew I needed people in my life who have the same desire for recovery and a love for Christ. Now, I wish my old friends will also experience the joy that I have found in Christ. As I worked through steps 7 through 9, I was ready to truly let go and forgive the people from my past. One of the moments that stood out the most to me during my recovery process was when I was faced with the decision to whether forgive my molester. I felt that if I forgave him, I was letting my guard down and my self-protection was in danger. I was very emotional and didn't know how to even start thinking about forgiving this person that had harmed me, taken away my innocence, and placed unwanted sexual thoughts in my head. I cried because even though I wanted to be obedient, I had no idea how to begin. My mentor came over to my place, prayed, and reminded me how God had sent his only son to die not only for my sins, for also for the sins of my abuser. My heart softened as I said, "I forgive you." The Lord immediately took those anxious feelings away and granted me a peace. I slept better that same night. Just as Jesus had died on the cross for my sins, I understood he also died for the sins of those who had harmed me. As the process of forgiveness was initiated, I realized that the hurt, sin, and abuse no longer had power over me. I experienced a new lightness and closeness with God through Jesus, as the burden of guilt and shame was lifted. This occurred over and over again as I made amends with the people on my inventory. There were many people I could not make direct amends with. And to these people, I wrote letters, read them out loud to my region group, and nailed the letters to a cross. This symbolic action was very healing for me. In steps 10 through 12, I found myself closer to God in a new place. A new place of peace and love as I seek him daily and do a daily inventory. I know that I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner, and when I wrong someone, I see my fault now much sooner. I learn to ask for forgiveness as I give up control of the situation to the Lord. I believe that I'm a precious daughter of a king, a princess, and as such, I can come to a Heavenly Father anytime. Today, I enjoy having an intimate relationship with the Lord and honestly believe that nothing, not even my own imperfection, sinful nature, will impair that because of Christ. I have a growing relationship with my mom as she works her own recovery, and I have learned to set up and maintain healthy boundaries. I am relearning my role as a daughter and not the caregiver, and allowing God to lead our relationship. I love my mom and my brother dearly, but I recognize I cannot control their actions or decisions. That is not my job to keep them from harm. God has loved them before they were neat in their mother's womb, and I know that I can confidently leave them in his hands. What a relief. After 12 years of silence, last year I spoke to my dad and visited with him in California. After making amends and acknowledging my fault in our relationship, he apologized and admitted his faults. I know that was God-led, and now we are attempting to establish a father-daughter relationship. I completely trust the Lord in this process. Proverbs 3:5-6 say, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." I may not have the picture-perfect family, but now I see how the Lord has placed women in my life who love me well and challenge me in my walk with the Lord. These women have become my spiritual family, and I am so grateful. As I mentioned earlier, I had become used to not allowing myself to feel certain emotions. It made me very uncomfortable to feel angry, for example. When I came into community and recovery at Watermark, it felt safe for me to acknowledge and express my feelings again. It became okay for me to cry. I learned that it's not a sign of weakness, and no longer fear my own anger anymore. I realize now that it's important to allow myself to feel. I've also learned, however, that feelings are not reliable and have often misled me. I used to feel worthless to God and to others. And even though I still sometimes feel that way, now I'm certain that I'm his precious child. I've learned that feelings can be influenced by circumstances and that I must take my feelings to God and to find truth in his word. Feelings must not be allowed to determine my decisions in life. A few years ago, I thought if others saw the real me, the dark, broken person I was, if they knew of my past, my struggles, they will judge me and will not love me or accept me. In a group setting, I was quiet, I had anxiety, and I felt like I had to perform. And it was very hard for me to communicate my needs. I used to, and still do sometimes, shut down and isolate. Since going through Region, I recognize that my past and my sins do not define me and do not define my future, nor my relationship with the Lord. Now I understand that my story belongs to God and his work in me. I'm committed to tell his story of grace in my life. Just like when I heard that lady's story for the first time I was at Region, I now hope that someone else who hears my story can relate to what I say and know that God has never left them. There is nothing about us that he does not know already, and our sins were all covered by Jesus' blood. So we can be forgiven and walk in a relationship with God. I belong to a safe community group of godly women that are here with me today. These women know me and love me. I can trust that they will continue to hold me accountable when needed. They will lovingly show me my wrongs even when I don't see them. And I pray that I will do the same for them. We grow spiritually together as we do different studies and encourage one another in our walk with Christ. I was called to serve at Region, and to this day, I'm so amazed on how the Lord worked things out for me in my life. I was matched with an incredible co-leader who I admire and constantly learn from, and a coach that it's very easy to talk to and has been there for me constantly. I'm currently co-leading a group of amazing women that encourage me as we walk through the 12 steps together. Now, when I start to isolate, I reach out to my spiritual family, who I know will ground me and speak truth to me. The Lord continues to reveal to me new areas where he wants me to work on. I am not perfect. I am a sinner. And I have sin in my life on a daily basis. The difference is that now I no longer dwell in the sin and its consequences, but promptly turn away and seek the Lord. He is the loving Father and is not going to give me anything that I cannot handle when I depend on his strength. If this is your first time, thank you for entrusting your very valuable time with us. The Lord has brought you to a safe place where you're allowed not to be perfect. Here you will find men and women that, without judging you, will love you where you are. Keep coming. God has a perfect plan for you, and that's why I believe that you are here today. God loves you and wants a relationship with you. I am very grateful to God for taking me as broken and imperfect and continuing to mold me into a new creation. Isaiah 64:8. Yet you, Lord, our Father, we are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. The Lord continues to shape me as I allow God to take total control of my life. Thank you.